word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. Romans chapter 12 is a favorite chapter of the Bible for so many Bible students. The chapter covers so many different aspects of living the Christian life, and it is such a practical chapter in the way that it applies to the everyday lives that we live as Christians. I've heard that this chapter was once called the Little Bible just because it covered so much about living the Christian life. In fact, in days when churches didn't have a preacher there to deliver a sermon every week, then on weeks when there was, no one could deliver a sermon, they would just stand up and read Romans chapter 12. And it seemed to cover all of the bases that they needed to cover as it pertains to living the Christian life. The chapter begins by calling upon us to be a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto God, Romans 12, 1. A living sacrifice means that every day we are focused on saying, thinking, and doing those things that would bring honor to the Lord and be pleasing in His sight. And as you work your way through the chapter, each verse elaborates on what it means to live your life as a living sacrifice to God. In this lesson, we're going to focus on verse 11, which says that if we are living as a living sacrifice to God, then we will not be lagging in diligence, but we will be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. When you boil it down, basically that passage is saying that living as a living sacrifice means serving the Lord with enthusiasm. It means that as living sacrifices, we will never settle for mediocrity in our lives that we live for God. As living sacrifices, we will always strive for excellence. And then as living sacrifices, we will always serve with sincerity. Those are the main points that are captured in the three phrases that are found in this verse. It's going to be the three things that we're going to center our study around in this lesson today. First of all, as living sacrifices, we will never settle for mediocrity. That's what the Bible means when it says that we will not be lagging in diligence. In other words, we will never settle for less than our best effort. The word diligence that's used here in this verse refers to an attitude that is eager to get the job done, to do the job as soon as possible, and to perform the task to the best of our ability. To be lagging in diligence would be the opposite of that. Lagging in diligence means that when there's a job to be done, that it's more of an attitude of, that can wait till later. There's other things to do right now. That can wait till later. Lagging in diligence could also be the attitude that it is satisfied to give a half-hearted effort to perform the task. It's not the best I can do, but it's good enough for this. And that's just simply an attitude that a faithful Christian can never accept as we're serving Christ and serving God. In the Old Testament, worshipers were never allowed to settle for a mediocre sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when people came to worship God, they offered an animal sacrifice. Depending on the sacrifice, it might be a bull, it might be a ram, it might be a goat. There were different animals for different things. But one thing that was consistent with all of these sacrifices is that you were to offer to God the best that you had. You were not allowed to offer him something that was sick or something that was blemished or something that had a flaw in some way. In the book of Malachi, we find a situation where there were worshipers who had settled for mediocre worship. And Malachi the prophet would not allow them to settle for that silently. He spoke up and he spoke loudly and clearly to stir them beyond that. God had not loved them with a mediocre love. He had chosen them not because they were altogether impressive, but because of his grace and because of his mercy and love. He blessed them. He rescued them when they were slaves in Egypt. He led them through the wilderness and into the promised land. He fed them, gave them water. He was patient with them, even when they were often weak and turned against him. He disciplined them as a parent would and redeemed them when they were taken into captivity. God had loved them with the greatest love imaginable. And in Malachi 1:2, he says, I have loved you. God never settled for a mediocre love when he loved his children. But sadly, his children settled for mediocre worship and mediocre love that was given in return. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord. So here's the situation. They are content to offer the blind and the lame as a sacrifice to God, even though they have better to offer. You know, their mindset is that the table of the Lord is contemptible. It's too much trouble. It costs too much to give God the best out of my flock. I can make so much money if I sell the best that I have out of my flock. You know, I've got this lame and this sick calf. I can't sell them. I can't do anything with them. So we'll give that to the temple as a sacrifice to God. But a mediocre sacrifice gives the impression that the worshiper serves a mediocre God. He doesn't deserve anything better than the lame and the sick. That's why God asked the people, offer it to your governor. Will he be pleased with you? Offer it to your master, your father. Will they consider that an act of honor and respect? The answer, of course, is no. When God has loved us to the fullest extent, why should we ever ask him to settle for mediocrity from us? We should never settle for just attendance when God wants our devotion. We should never settle for sitting on the sidelines when God wants us on the field and in the battle. Our Lord was certainly not lagging in diligence when he served our needs. And we should never be lagging in diligence when we serve him. As you come over to the New Testament, there's another example of this in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. As the passage begins, God's people are reminded that God's power and wisdom are not mediocre. He is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. His love is not mediocre. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him, dine with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:19-20. His love was such that he had not given up easily on his children, but he continues to stand at the door and knock, and he continues to offer himself to his children. And that's why the Lord found it so disgusting that his church was satisfied with being lukewarm. He had been so passionate in his love and his devotion to his children. Why were they so satisfied to be lukewarm? In Revelation 3:15-16, Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I think one of the most detestable things, disgusting things in the world is indifference on the part of those who are Christians. We know that Jesus left heaven and he came to this earth. He gave up the glory and the riches of heaven to live among the poor and the needy. He suffered throughout his life that he lived here upon this earth. And then at the end, he took his place on the cross, not because of any wrong that he had done, but to pay the price for our sin. That's how much he loved us, to be willing to do that. And those who have been blessed by a sacrifice like that allow themselves to become indifferent toward the Lord who saved them and toward the church that he established. That, my friends, to me is the greatest sin of all. It's even greater than the sin of those who do not believe in him. Because we've been blessed by his goodness. That's why the Lord said to the church at Laodicea, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I'm disgusted by your indifference and your laziness. I have created you. I have loved you. I'm standing at the door and offering myself to you. And why are you lukewarm toward me? The Lord is looking for Christians who are boiling over with passion, who are passionate about serving him and living for him every day of our lives. As living sacrifices unto God, we can never allow ourselves to settle for mediocrity. We can never allow ourselves to be lagging in diligence. But then the second thing that is said in Romans 12:11 is that we, as living sacrifices, are to be fervent in spirit, which means that we will always strive for excellence. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. Whatever your hand finds to do. We all have different abilities. We have different capabilities. And some of us are really good at teaching. Some of us are really good at singing. Some of us are really good at other things like visiting and preparing a meal and serving in other capacities. Some of us are really good at leadership. Some of us work better behind the scenes. Every hand is different, and every hand has something different that it can contribute. But this passage says, whatever your hand finds to do, whatever it is that you're capable of doing, do it with your might. Whatever it is, do it the best that you can, because that's what God deserves. Whether it's teaching a class, washing dishes, making a visit, welcoming a visitor, decorating a bulletin board, preparing communion trays, whatever that work is, it has eternal significance and it should be done with zeal. Now, in order to illustrate this principle, I want to notice several biblical examples of people who were fervent in spirit, who were of a mindset to give whatever it was that they had with all of their might. The first example is found in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, where the Bible says that Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and he saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." Here was a lady who didn't bury her talent, even though she had so little to give. She believed that the Lord was worthy of all that she had. Linsky wrote that the widow's gift, though copper, was gold in the eyes of the Lord. Her two mites were not worth very much as far as material things are concerned, but it meant everything to the Lord because that was all that she had. The Lord did not see devotion like this every day. She trusted that the Lord would not abandon her in her time of need. John Phillips wrote, "Little did she know whose eyes were watching her that day. Little did she know that the Lord of glory sat over against the treasury that day. Little did she know who had looked into her purse. Little did she know what joy she had brought to the Savior as he made his way to the cross. Little did she know that her gift would find its way into the Gospels. Little did she know that for thousands of years her generosity would be preached about to the very ends of the earth." End quote. She was certainly fervent in spirit, willing to give the Lord everything that she had to give. Here's another example. When you turn over to Genesis 18, verses 1 through 8 in particular, you see how Abraham demonstrated serving the Lord with excellence. The Bible tells a story about how Abraham was sitting in his tent in the cool of the day. Maybe he's taking a siesta and resting. And out of nowhere, these three strangers appear. And when he sees them, he springs into action. If he had been lagging in diligence, he would have said, "You know, well, I'm sorry you guys showed up, but this is at this particular time, it's really not convenient for me to prepare a meal for you right now. If you'll just come back later, then we'll have something for you later." Or, you know, "Well, maybe we've got some leftovers, you know, that we could, you know, scrap together and get something together for you." See, he didn't take that attitude. The Bible says he jumped up, he started to act quickly, he made haste. He told Sarah to take fine flour and make bread. He told his servant to go out and find an animal that was tender and good. And he starts to prepare this meal because he wants his guests to feel welcome. He wants them to be comfortable. And he serves them with generosity. Now, what's special about this occasion is that these guests were actually the Lord and two of his angels. They were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to carry out their judgment against those cities. Now, later on, Abraham figures that out. But I don't know that he knew that from the beginning. In Hebrews 13:2, the Bible talks about those who have entertained angels unaware, and I believe that's talking about Abraham here. Abraham was not embarrassed when he found out that his guests were divine in nature because he gave them the best that he had to give them. Now, I know that I'm serving the Lord today when I worship him, when I preach his word, when I serve him. Do I have Abraham's attitude to spring into action, to act right away, and give the Lord the best that I have to give him? I want to have that attitude. We need to have that attitude. Let me give you one more example. In Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, we read of an occasion when Jesus went to visit in the home of a Pharisee named Simon. And while he was in the house, a lady entered in. The Bible says that she was a sinner. Now, we're all sinners, so I get the impression from that there was something remarkable, something extravagant about her sin. Perhaps she was a prostitute, or she had some kind of reputation that made her an outcast, a renegade in her community. But somewhere along the way, she met Jesus, and she listened to him, and she believed in him, and she accepted his teaching, and he accepted her. And she was so profoundly grateful for his love and his grace and his mercy that she wanted to come into Simon's house and display her affection for the Lord. The Bible says that she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Another passage, John chapter 12, tells us that oil like this could cost as much as 300 denarii. A denarii was what a wage a Roman soldier would be paid for one day's work. So 300 denarii, that's almost an entire year's salary. This lady had spent almost an entire year's salary on this one bottle of fragrant oil. And just stop and think about what you make in a year's time, and imagine spending that whole amount on one bottle of perfume, or one bottle of moisturizer, or whatever. She comes in with this very expensive oil, and she uses it to anoint the feet of Jesus. Washes her feet, his feet, with her tears, wipes them with the hair of her head. She spared no expense. She spared no energy to express her love and gratitude to Jesus. Surely she had some cheaper perfume at home, but that cheaper perfume wasn't good enough for Jesus. Her story forces me to look in the mirror and ask myself a question. Am I willing to settle for cheaper perfume when I serve the Lord? Am I lagging in diligence, or am I fervent in spirit? I want to be more like these people that I've studied, who were fervent in spirit in all that they did. What about Zacchaeus? He wanted so badly to see Jesus, he wouldn't let the crowd get in his way. He climbed up in that sycamore tree just so that he could get a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus came into his home and sat down and ate with him and talked to him. The Bible says that when Jesus comes back, we're going to get a chance to see him too. But are we as desperate as Zacchaeus that we're willing to climb as high as we have to climb and do whatever we have to do to make that possible? Paul, when he talked about his efforts to preach the gospel of Jesus to others, he said, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. As much as is in me. That's being fervent in spirit. That's the attitude that we all strive to have as we live our lives as living sacrifices to God. But then the last phrase that's found in Romans 12:11 is serving the Lord. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, it basically says that we will give our best, and as we do, we will give the Lord all of the glory. We do not give our best for our own glory. We're not trying to draw attention to ourselves. We're not trying to promote ourselves. We're not trying to get others to see how great we are or say good things to us or give us things. Everything that we do is to direct people's attention to God and to see how great He is and to draw them to want to give their lives to Him. Sometimes you can do the right thing but ruin it because you do it for the wrong reason. Like, for example, in Matthew 6:1, Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." In verse 5, he said, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." To give charity and to pray are good things to do, but if you're doing it only so that you can be seen and praised by men, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. And the Lord warns us that the Father in heaven will not reward those who have these kind of selfish motives. So we're not to be lagging in diligence. We are to be fervent in spirit, always giving our best, always doing our best, but not to draw attention to ourselves. We do it serving the Lord, to give Him glory and honor. Now, just as I gave examples of those who were fervent in spirit, let me give you an example of someone who was sincere as he did it. One of the apostles was named Andrew. Andrew's a great man. His name's not as well known as some of the others. He didn't write any books of the New Testament, and none of his sermons are recorded in Scripture. But Andrew was the brother of Peter, who did do all of those things. And Andrew was the first one who found Jesus. And as soon as he found Jesus, he went and found his brother, Peter, and brought him to Jesus. So if it were not for Andrew, there wouldn't be a Peter as we know it in the New Testament. But for whatever reason, Andrew sort of faded into the background. He did not become as well-known or popular as the others did. But I don't get the impression that that bothered him in the least. Every time we read about Andrew in Scripture, he's bringing someone to Jesus. That's what he did. It wasn't about Andrew. It was about serving the Lord. Tradition tells us that Andrew was crucified just as Jesus had been. But during the entire time that he was hanging there upon the cross, he continued to beg those who passed by to give their lives to the Lord and be saved. These people were not lagging in diligence. They were fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. What if passion could be measured as temperature is measured with a thermometer? What would the thermometer say in your case? Are you satisfied with anything other than being on fire in service to the Lord?
A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.